Well, amen. Let's look in Psalm 37. Psalm 37. I'm going to share a message entitled The Steps of a Good Man out of Psalm 37. And while you're turning over there, just a couple of announcements. Remember to be praying for Vacation Bible School. That comes up in July the 12th. And if you haven't signed up to be a helper, be sure to do so. And we're getting things ready now. Also, we could use some water bottles and juice bottles and candy and anything that kids like eating. Amen. That means that's just about anything. And bring it in and just drop it off in the back there by the nursery on the blue table. And we appreciate that. That'll help us out. And also get signed up for our couples retreat, which is in October, the 1st and 2nd. And besides that, we also have our midweek service this week will be Tuesday night. So not Wednesday night, but Tuesday night, because Wednesday night is our kindergarten graduation. And then Thursday night is our high school graduation. And so we'll be doing our midweek service on Tuesday evening. So busy week this week. I'm glad we got tomorrow off. Amen. And but Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are going to be very busy with graduations and church and everything else. And so you pray for us that God will enable us to get it all together. Amen. And school will be over and the kids will be home and it'll be glorious. It'll be quiet around here for a change. Amen. So Psalm 37, the steps of a good man. And we'll begin reading in verse 16 of Psalm 37, verse 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs, and they shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forever, forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you so much that we can gather together this evening. And Lord, we can study the Word of God. I pray that we might learn some practical truths here that'll help us in knowing that God is leading us and directing us and using us for His glory. And Lord, may we realize just how powerful it is to have a God that is so intimately concerned and involved in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray if there's someone watching by live stream or here in the building that's never been saved, I pray they might realize just how precious it is to know the God of heaven and to be assured that heaven is our home. And I pray, Lord, that they might receive Christ as their Savior. Bless us that walk with you, Lord, and trust you each day. I pray that you would bless us according to your word and according to your promises that you have given to us. And so bless the preaching of the Word of God tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 23 and 24. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That's a great psalm because the psalm gives us two contrasts in reference to the wicked and also the evil. The word good man here that's used in our text in verse 23 carries with it from the meaning Hebrew of being a man of war, the steps of a good man. In other words, a man that goes into battle, the man who does war with the enemy. And certainly as we are celebrating Memorial Day today, we're celebrating the fact that many have lost their life and has given us the opportunity to be able to have freedom. I saw this little clip of interviewing college kids about Memorial Day. It's shocking that in America, you can go up to somebody on a college campus in America who is a citizen, born citizen of the United States of America, and ask them, do you know what Memorial Day is about? And they have no idea. It's a shocking thought to me, shocking thought. And this one fellow they interviewed, they asked him, he said, you know about Memorial Day? He said, yeah, I know what it's about, but I don't think we ought to celebrate it. And he said, why? He said, well, he said, when I came to college, I had to take a course on transgenderism and gender relationships. And once I took that course, I realized that America is wicked and that we shouldn't celebrate colonialism of America, these deaths of all these different people. I'm like, that is what's being taught in our colleges. The step of a good man, the good man is a man who is a man of war, who understands what is necessary to defend his people, and he understands that it is God that holds him up and God that blesses him. And it would be well if we once again taught our young people in America what America is all about. That's my statement of politics tonight, and I'm moving on. And so the good man carries with the idea of man of war. Thus, we see the warriors that are listed here in the passage in which we live. My goodness. Anyway, I slept too long this afternoon. Notice the person in verse 16 says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. And so the person that is identified is someone who is righteous in contrast to someone who is wicked. So it's talking about the individual himself, the person himself, and two different types of personalities here. But also we see the warriors identified in verse 17, says, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. And so there is the warriors, there's the ones that do good, and there's the ones that do evil. The one who does evil will be brought low and defeated, but the one that is good and does what is right is the one that God will uphold. And so the whole focus of this psalm is about the ability of God to bless the one who is a warrior for righteousness, and God's judgment on the one who opposes the righteousness of his God. And so let's focus on the good, righteous one tonight rather than the evil, wicked one tonight. The righteous one, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in the way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his right hand. And so notice four things tonight, four or five, I don't know, maybe 20, we'll see. First of all, notice the man's steps, the steps of a good man. And it's interesting that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. When you think about the steps of a good man, the meaning of the steps is that there's order in the individual's life, which would speak of direction. In other words, the steps of a good man, there is a direction that you're going in. Either you're going in the direction of the righteousness of Christ, or you're going in the direction against the righteousness of Christ. And so the steps of a good man are outlined for us that God has given him direction. Notice there's a perceived direction. There's several verses we want to look at tonight. Look over in Proverbs. We'll be coming back here to this chapter. But over in Proverbs chapter 14 in verse 12, a perceived direction. And if I can get there real quick, I'll read it for you in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So when you talk about the steps of a good man, you're acknowledging the fact everybody is going in some direction. The problem is there is a perceived direction that comes into people's lives, and there is this matter of a man determining in his heart that the way that he's going seems right in his eyes, but the direction he's going is just going to bring destruction. It's going to bring death. In Proverbs chapter 16, in verse 25, it says that again, there's a way that seemeth right in the, unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so we don't want to be caught up and captured in this perceived direction that we're going, because we're comfortable with it, but it's not directed by God. And the passage in Psalm is declaring that God is the one who establishes the steps of a good man. So we don't want to make the decisions about the direction we're going in our life based on what our ideas are or what our concept of what life is. We want to be able to respond according to the Lord's leading our, and guiding our steps. And so there's a perceived direction that leads to destruction. There is a fooled direction. Notice back in Psalm, we'll flip back in Psalms again. In Psalm 14, I wanted you to look at a lot of verses tonight. Psalm 14 in verse 1, there is a fooled direction. Psalm 14 in verse 1. Says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. And so a fool direction is thinking that we can live our life completely apart from who God is. That we don't. Woo. Watch out. COVID-19. I should have said that so we're on live stream. Then people are going to think I'm nuts. Oh, man. No, it's allergies. It really is. Oh, oh, help me, Lord. Psalm 14 in verse 3 says, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Well, who is that? It's those that have this perceived idea that they can direct their own paths, and because of the fact there's really no God directing me, no God in charge of things, no God in control of things, and so I just live my life as I please, and they are duped, they are fooled, because they come to the end of their life, and they have nothing to show for it. They have nothing to be able to count for of any value or any worth for eternity. And so we want to live our life by the steps of the Lord, the steps of a good man. The Lord has ordered and directed. And so there's a full direction. There is a corrected direction. In other words, you can have a perceived idea this is the direction you should go, and you could make foolish decisions about your life and that's the direction or how you should live your life. But there is a way to correct that. In John 3:3, it says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And so if we get born again, God changes our path. He redirects us. In Luke chapter 13 and verses 1 through 5, three different times, Jesus says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So there can be a correction in our direction, in our life that we live, if we'll turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts, over and over again, it speaks of the fact that they had repented. And so when we repent, we can get our feet on the path that God has go in the direction that God wants us to be going in, so our steps of a good man are now ordered by the Lord. There has to be a correction. There has to be a changing of that. And we cannot just continue to go down the path that leads to destruction. And so the steps deal with direction. Notice it says, are ordered by the Lord. So we see man's steps, but God's order. And God's order, the meaning is just simply this, to establish or to prepare. And so as a man's steps puts him going in a direction, God's order establishes purpose in a man's life. And I just know before I got saved, I just couldn't find purpose in my life. I was a hard worker and respectful. I was lost. And all these different things that consumed my life and my attention. I was trying to live my life and could not find purpose in my life. I tried everything. I got involved in everything. You name it. If it was a get-rich-quick scheme type of thing, I jumped on it because I was going to be wealthy and all this, that, and the other. And I just didn't know what the purpose of life was. And then I realized, and I heard the preaching of the gospel of Christ, that I was lost and I needed the forgiveness of God, and I called on Christ to be my personal Savior. Now, all of a sudden, a man who had no purpose in life now has a direction, but more than direction, purpose with that direction. And so God's order, he establishes or prepares us to fulfill his purpose. That is experienced through established salvation that God has provided. In Acts 2:41, it says, then they that received his word. There is a salvation in Christ and Christ alone. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 37, when the Ethiopian eunuch was with Philip, he says, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, if thou believest, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he was baptized. And so the means of salvation literally puts our feet on a path, not just going in the right direction, but it puts our feet on a path that gives us a purpose for living in our life. And God wants to use us in a great way. I just thought of God's order, and not only established salvation, but obedient baptism. And, when we receive Christ as our Savior, immediately we are baptized. Jesus Christ came to John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3 to be baptized to testify of what he would do. His death, burial, and resurrection would provide salvation to mankind. In Matthew 28 and verse 19, Jesus gave the Great Commission, which is what? We're to teach all nations. We're to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so it is so important to understand the order that God puts in our life, the purpose that God puts in our life involves salvation, baptism, and also being committed in church membership. In Acts chapter 2, why don't you turn over to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. I want you to see a couple of things here in this passage of the expression and the response of the early church at the preaching of Peter. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and breaking of bread and in prayers. And it says, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. So a couple of things here. It says they continued. That word continued is interesting. I didn't put it on the screen, but I'll just mention it to you. It's the Greek imperfect tense. And the Greek imperfect tense means to be continually responding, or literally carries with it a repeated action. In other words, when they got saved, they were baptized, and they continued. In other words, every day they redid or relived or reconfirmed the fact of who they were in Christ. And whatever the apostles taught, whatever the fellowship was, whenever they had the breaking of bread, whenever they were praying, they continued in those things over and over and over again. And the thing is, the consistency in the Christian life is based on the order of God, that God gives us purpose in living out our life. They continue. It's in the Greek indicative mood, which is a statement of fact. So it's just simply saying this in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, that these new believers that were baptized and were added to the church were committed over and over every day, every week, every month, every year, in following the instruction they received from the apostles, because of the fact they were aware of the fact that God had put their feet on a path of direction, and that direction provided them purpose on how to grow and flourish and mature as a believer in Christ and be able to impact other people's lives. The Christian life is not that complicated. Amen. It really isn't. And it is just taking and opening up the Word of God and looking at what God has says that we are to be and what we're supposed to do, and just keep doing it. Just keep doing it over and over again. You say, I've been going to church for 50 years. Well, that's good. Keep going. You're still alive. You're still breathing. Keep doing it. Young people say, well, I've been in church. I've heard those messages before, and I'll tell you, I know all about that. Well, you're not going to grow in the Lord. You're not going to have purpose in life and direction that is fulfilled when you stop doing the things that are clear and evident that God wants us to do in our life. So it says they continued. They continued steadfastly in Acts 2:42. The word steadfastly there is in the Greek present tense, which means it's a statement of fact or reality that's continuing at the present time. In other words, it says this, when they continued steadfastly, they were literally doing the same thing and adhering to the instruction continually in their life. It's in the active voice, so that means the subject's doing the action. In other words is this, it's great, we should have discipleship, the Bible says that we have discipleship, but you understand you're responsible for your own spirituality. Amen. I can study the Word and I can preach the Word, and every time I study a passage and I preach from it, God ministers to my heart. And every time I get up and preach the things I have down, God brings other things to my mind, and I have to try to stay focused on the message that I had planned on preaching because I see something else that I didn't see before. But you are responsible and obligated in yourself to decide that you're going to keep doing what is necessary to be able to mature and grow in the Lord. Why? Because the steps of a good man are ordered. They're orchestrated. They're put in place for a purpose. And God is not willing that any should perish. And they certainly, he is not willing for us to struggle in our Christian life. He wants us to mature and grow. So they have an established salvation, obedience and baptism, commitment and membership, and a continual service. Notice continual service means they are exercising the spiritual gifts that God had given them. Now, God has given each one of you tonight a special gift, a talent that to be able to do something for the glory of God, to minister to the saints of God, to reach the sinners for God. God has gifted you with a special gift that you are to exercise in the church. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And so we have to be reminded that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God has so designed for every one of us to continue in service in the church. And so we need to be back in church. We need to be committed in ministry. So we want to be able to get our Sunday school up and running again and by the 1st of August. And we have things in the works here with Sunday school, junior church, and VBS, and all these things. If those things are going to function and happen, it's going to require God's people to have a direction and a purpose in life to fulfill the spiritual gifts that God has given you. So that enables us to minister to one another and certainly to the world that does not know Christ. So we see man's steps gives direction. We see God's order gives purpose. And then we see man's delight. It says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. He delighteth in his way. I've got to say that ever since I've been saved, I've enjoyed my life. I don't understand. I can't comprehend it. It's hard for me to be able to think this whole thing through and wrap my mind around it when people do not enjoy being a Christian. I don't understand that. I don't know what kind of Christianity you got, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I delight in the Christianity I got. And so man's delight. The word delight there means to be pleased to do. It means to take pleasure in. And so if man has direction and he has purpose, now he has fulfillment. And he delighteth in his way. It's expressions of joy in God's direction and purpose. And our delighting in God's leading us and God directing us is really the product of us being joyful and excited about God's purpose and direction in our life. How does that come about? It comes about, first of all, by confidence in the Word. And look over in Psalms, so we're just going to look at a couple of Psalms so we're close by. In Psalm 19 and verse 7. Psalm 19 and verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Don't get caught up with these people that want to say, well, the Bible has errors in it. The Bible is perfect. There is no errors in it. And so what you read in it, you take it at face value and knowing that it is sure. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And so I see this matter of delighting. You delight in the word of God. You delight in the call of God, the fulfilling of God's will in your life because you have a confidence in the Word of God. I trust the Word of God completely. I do not go to the Word of God with doubts and questions. I read it in faith, believing it. I have a confidence in the Word of God. But also I see freedom in the Word of God. Notice in Psalm 119. We'll turn over to the right there, Psalm 119. We're still in the Psalms, so we should be able to get there pretty quick. I might get there by tomorrow afternoon. Psalm 119 in verse 45 and verse 47. Psalm 119, verse 45 and verse 47. Says, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. And then down in verse 47 says, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I love. Wait a minute, I skipped on. Verse 45 I wanted to look at. It says, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. We're talking about freedom today. We're talking about liberties that we have because of being a citizen of the United States. Talking about freedom that we have in Christ because he has set us free from the yoke of bondage. Well, that freedom we have is because of the fact that we delight in the commandments of God because we love God's law. And so there's freedom in the Word. And then there's just a simply understanding in the Word. notice in Psalm 119 and verse 104, Psalm 119, 104, understanding the word of God says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. I remember I was in Bible college, Dr. Tom Malone Jr. Was in the college teaching and very active in running the school and everything, but he was a young man when we were in college. I don't know, how old was he? In his mid-30s, I think. So he was in his mid-30s. He used to read a chapter in Proverbs every day. And I just remember, I was so impressed by him, the wisdom that he had as a 30-year-old man. And listen, if you want to gain wisdom, you want to be able to have understanding about the days and the times and about the Christian life, you want to be fulfilled in your life, then through the precepts of God, I get understanding. And therefore, I hate every false way. In verse 127 of Psalm 119, it says, therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. In verse 128, it says, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. And so man's delight, what are you enjoying tonight? What do you delight in tonight? Is it clear that God is directing your path? Is it understood the purpose that God has for your life? And because of that, you feel fulfilled because of what you enjoy in reference to what God's word has to say about what your life should be. So we see man's steps, we see God's order, we see man's delight, and then we see God's upholding. Because it says in verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Where he's not talking about a perfect individual. He's not talking about a person that always has it together. He's talking about someone who may stumble and fall, but God still has a hold of him. And I'm blessed by that because I don't always stand strong, and I'm thankful that God holds me up when I can't stand on my own, that's for sure. So God's holding up. The word holding, upholdeth here, means to support or to lean on, to sustain. So he's talking about security. Security. And the promise of Jesus Christ was that he would give us security. John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's security. And we don't have much security in things in this world. Everything's changing. Everything's falling apart, it seems. But wait a minute. As a Christian, as a man that's walking with God, then we can be assured of the fact that we're secure in Christ Jesus. So it's a security based on the promise of Christ. It's security based on the power of faith. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That's faith. That you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so this upholding, this support that we have from God is based on the promise of Christ and it's based on the power of faith to believe that God will hold us up. I don't believe God's going to turn his back on me for 1 minute. I don't believe that at all. I believe that God is aware of everything that we need and everything that we experience, and I know this, that he'll hold us up. I've seen him over the years since I've been saved, lifting us up and holding us up when we could not go on. And so by the power of faith. Then God's upholding is based on the peace of immutability. The peace of immutability. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, and I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. I'm thankful tonight that God doesn't change. I'm glad the rules don't change. I'm glad the way of salvation doesn't change. I'm glad that God doesn't come along and say, well, you know what? I came up with a different plan. Let's try this plan for a while. No, everything is secure. The Lord, I am the Lord. I change not. the immutability of God. I can depend on the fact that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the steps of a good man. See several things here. The steps of a good man, in conclusion, provides direction. And people, listen, people are floating around in life with no direction. You need to find direction that comes from God, because the direction that you find from God will provide you purpose in life. People can't figure out what is their purpose for being here. And, why was I born here? Why do I have this education? Why don't I have this education? Why do I have this money? Why don't I have this money? Why am I a boy? Why am I a girl? I mean, everybody has no direction in their life. They have no purpose because of the fact their purpose is based upon man's assumptions that is constantly changing. And so man needs to find purpose in the direction of God. And once we find direction and purpose from God, then we will experience fulfillment. We'll be satisfied in life. You know. When I got out of the Marine Corps, I tried to get a job. And working in the field that I was in when I was in the Marine Corps, nobody would hire me because they didn't recognize service experience. Cracked me up. They were all the advertisements you had was bet on a vet, bet on a vet. Man, we have all these men coming back and you need to bet on a vet. I went out to try to get a job, couldn't get a job because they wouldn't recognize service experience. And then my brother went out to get a job. He was a helicopter mechanic and he wanted to get a job in aviation mechanic, and nobody would hire him because they wouldn't recognize service experience. And so there was no fulfillment. I started driving tractor and trailer. I said, well, I'll drive tractor and trailer then. I'll buy a truck. Nobody can't tell me I can't drive. I'll drive. And so I bought a tractor and trailer. The first year I worked for, I think it was 13 or 14 different companies the first year. Why? Because I wasn't satisfied with anything I was doing. I was like, well, I should be making money. I thought, well, I'll haul produce from down in Florida. And so I got a load of jelly going down to Florida and took a load of jelly to Florida. And then I got a load of oranges and brought it back up to New York. And I got back up to New York. And 2 weeks later, I got my pay for it. And I looked at it and I said, this doesn't even cover my fuel costs. And I was like, I took the reefer back. I said, you can have your refrigerated trailer back. And I got a flatbed and I was running that. What am I saying? There was no fulfillment in life without Christ. There's no fulfillment and satisfaction in life if the Lord's not directing your path and revealing his purpose. Amen. Well, hallelujah, in 1979 I got saved and my direction in life changed. My purpose in life was clear. And I'll tell you, ever since then I've been fulfilled and satisfied in who I am in reference to who Christ is. And then, of course, once you have that fulfillment taking place, you experience the security of God. I have never felt as safe as I do since I got saved and I'm secure in Christ. There's security in the Lord. And I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know that God holds on to me. Amen. And no matter what happens, he's going to take care of me. Oftentimes, Joanne and I have talked about that. Man, what about if this happens? And what about that? Hey, we live in the hand of God. And whatever God wants to do, I know this, he's going to take care of me because Jesus cares for me more than any individual could ever care for me. And so direction puts us in a position to know purpose. The purpose gives us satisfaction or fulfillment in our life. And then we live a life of security, trusting in the living God. Amen. I'm glad that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Why? Because he upholdeth him. And God has a hold of you tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for allowing us to be together this evening. I'm thankful, Lord, that our lives are hid in Christ. I'm thankful that we are saved, saved, saved. I'm thankful, Lord, that that carries with it more than just going to heaven. It carries with it the idea of having a life that is valuable, purposeful, Lord, satisfying, and secure. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd bless us. And if there's anyone watching live stream or here in the building that's not sure that they're saved, they've never been secured by faith in Christ and Christ alone, I pray they would let us know and we could show them how they can trust Jesus. I'm thankful, Lord, that no matter what we think about as far as our lives personally, our families, our nation, Lord, we know it's only under God that we can be blessed. And so bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's